The Bible is clear. God does not want us to worry and be anxious. Yet we do. And I think of Scripture, Philippians 4:6, where Paul says very clearly that we are to be anxious for nothing. And I chuckle because that's usually what we're anxious about, nothing. You know, it's...
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy begins his teaching, How to Overcome Worry and Anxiety. Now, to help you become intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living Center studio here live. In a moment, I'll take you over to our teaching studio as we normally do and begin a brand new series on the topic of overcoming worry and anxiety. And you'll hear me say in just a few minutes that this is the number one mental illness, emotional illness, and challenge as far as behavioral health, folks, in the United States. Over 40 million people wrestle with different degrees of anxiety and worry, and it can be very debilitating, as we'll hear and learn in these next 3 days. And so we're here to give you some hope and help and some freedom and some perspective on overcoming worry and anxiety. And I will say that if you're really stuck, if you're really struggling with this and you find it holding you back, there's nothing as far as being spiritually weak to find help. Find a Christian counselor, a pastor, someone who can begin to help you process and hopefully get the help that you need to deal with worry and anxiety in your life. So this is intended to be a hope-filled session, and I hope that's how it turns out for you. So if you're ready, let's move on over to the teaching studio and begin part one on overcoming worry and anxiety.
The topic today that I want to talk about is the topic of anxiety and worry. We all have experienced it. Now, some experience it at greater degrees than others. There are some people who are totally disabled as a result of anxiety. There are people who are being treated, maybe even here, for anxiety. It's a problem. It's an issue. Part of the fall, part of sin, part of the reality. It can go all the way from getting up in the morning and sort of worrying about, did I get my homework done for the kids to get turned into the teacher, to am I going to have a health problem today when I see the doctor, to can I pay the bills? Lots of worries that come our way. And I shared this topic, and I've shared with you before that this particular topic is probably the singular biggest issue that I wrestle with in my own life, worry and anxiety. And so I share this topic for something that hopefully will be helpful to me, because as I've wrestled with anxiety and worry in my life, I've had to seek God, go back and understand what the Bible teaches, practice what we preach and being intentional, because this is an issue that I wrestle with, maybe you do as well. Now for me, I find that it comes with certain triggers. And it comes during more times of a certain part of the day. I find that I worry more in the morning. When I wake up, what's the first thought that comes to my mind? Can set off whatever's going to happen for the next hour or two in terms of worrying about the day and worrying about you all and worrying about the ministry and worrying about kids and the grandkids. And it doesn't control your life, but it's there. It's that kind of undercurrent as you're... mind starts to grab hold of things that we can worry about, and I certainly wrestle with that. When we study Scripture, we see that God does not want His children to be anxious and worry, period. Now, let's be clear about that. The Bible is clear. God does not want us to worry and be anxious, and yet we do. And I think of Scripture, Philippians 4:6, where Paul says very clearly that we are to be anxious for nothing. And I chuckle because that's usually what we're anxious about, nothing. You know, it's but Paul is saying be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about anything that comes into your life. And then Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, you know, young man, this young preacher, God has not given to you that spirit of fear. And then we see Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where he's giving so much instruction, And he says in Matthew 6, he says to us, don't worry about your life. Why? Why is this a big deal to God? Why is it that God commands us not to worry and be anxious? We were out to dinner with the whole family for one of these special occasions where you take the whole family out for dinner. And when the bill came, one of my perceptive grandchildren, who's about that tall, came up to me because she saw all these people and she knew that that had to be a big bill to have all the family to eat. And came up to me and said, Papa, do you have enough money to pay for this? Clearly, she was worried. She was concerned for Papa. She was concerned, can you pay for this? In her mind, she's thinking, you know, she's got 50 cents in her bank. How in the world can you pay for this? Now, she's one that was worried about Papa being able to pay for this. And I thought, isn't that kind of like what we are with God sometimes? Because we're going to see in a moment when we get into Scripture that God tells us not to worry and then tells us why we shouldn't worry. And then we know as believers, he tells us because he owns all the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns everything, right? We know that. We've heard this in Sunday school. We understand where this lesson is headed. But it's kind of like the grandchild coming to Papa and saying, do you have enough money to pay for this? We kind of do that with God, don't we? When we get worried about our kids, we get worried about our health, we get worried about our life. Am I going to survive?
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from How to Overcome Worry and Anxiety, and he'll continue in just a moment.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
I had irrational fear, fear of things that probably wouldn't happen, and I had anxiety. For 7 years, I suffered with this, and I decided to take my fears to the cross, to lay them down at God's feet. And when I did, I think that was the first good night's sleep I had in years. I had joy in my heart like a child waiting to open Christmas presents. And my life went from night to light, and it was wonderful. And I'm now reading my Bible, and I have more joy than I ever thought I'd ever have. I thank you for your radio station, and I thank you for all those that support your radio station, because I wouldn't have known to go to the cross if it weren't for you.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues How to Overcome Worry and Anxiety.
We've heard this in Sunday school. We understand where this lesson is headed. But it's kind of like the grandchild coming to Papa and saying, do you have enough money to pay for this? We kind of do that with God, don't we? When we get worried about our kids, we get worried about our health, we get worried about our life. Am I going to survive? God, are you big enough to pay for this? Are you powerful enough? Are you God enough to be able to handle this situation? I think there's two things. Why this is a big deal for God, and it's very intentional, by the way, because you hear me say that intentional living is bringing God glory, right, and benefiting ourselves. When we live intentionally, we bring God glory in whatever it is that we're being intentional about, and secondly, we benefit by it. That's true in all areas of being intentional, with our finances, our health, our relationships, and certainly here. We bring God glory when we don't worry and we're not anxious. That's a biblical truth. And we benefit when we don't worry and we're not anxious. Now, let me just say this. As a person who's trained in psychology and working with people, the reality is there's people who are anxious and worry. And there's people who need treatment for this. This is a serious medical mental illness that can create problems in people's lives. In fact, here's a reality. It's the number one mental illness in the United States. Anxiety-related disorders cause more people to go to see doctors than anything else. 40 million American adults have an anxiety-related disorder. I don't mean just struggling with anxiety, but have an anxiety disorder, enough that it should be treated. And half of those also have depression, because anxiety and depression often go hand in hand. That's a staggering number. That's 18% of the population of the United States, and it represents $42 billion in annual expense just to treat anxiety-related disorders in the United States. And so here we stand talking about anxiety. And here's a manual for those of us who are in counseling. We use this manual. This is how you diagnose mental illness. There's over 55 pages in this book just designated for anxiety-related disorders. And that doesn't include all the other spin-offs that are related to anxiety that you can wrestle with mental illness. So this is a really big deal. And it's something that my guess is you all wrestle with at some time or other, either on the spectrum of a little bit of worry all the way to, hey, this really at times can overtake my life with those thoughts of anxiety. What I'd like to do is I've asked Stephen to come up and read from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about don't worry about your life. And then he shares with us this passage that we've all heard. And then he concludes with two things that are very intentional that he tells us that we need to do if we choose to deal with anxiety and worry in our life. And being intentional living, Jesus gives us a goal and some habits. And that's the intentional living formula, isn't it? Having the right goals and then developing the right habits. And he gives us both in this passage that I want to share with you. And then we can pray about making these habits and these goals a part of our life. So as he reads from the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to just draw on the board some of the things that Jesus is saying related to anxiety and worry, and then we can talk this through. Stephen.
Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Boy, that's very true, but we wrestle with that truth, don't we? We'll continue this series, Worry and Anxiety, How to Overcome It, as we continue this three parts, these 3 days, on much hope and help for you with this topic. By the way, I want you to stay tuned. Our senior producer, Steve Tanner, will be along in a few minutes to talk with a man who once woke up in the fetal position. Maybe you have felt that way yourself, or maybe you've experienced that, completely paralyzed by fear and anxiety. But God brought him through, and he's going to tell his story beginning today. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Before we do that, however, I want to say thank you to a very important group of people, our members, those who support the Ministry of Intentional Living every month. Your financial support is so tangible and practical as you support with $1 a day, $30 a month, some of you supporting with $2 a day, $60 a month. But whatever the amount is, it goes directly into keeping this program going, keeping the Ministry of Intentional Living bright and the lights on here and around the world. Come and join us. We're going to send to you this entire series, by the way, on overcoming worry and anxiety, along with Growing Through Discipline, 2 CD teachings, and 2 of my books, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, and The One Thing Wristband. All you have to do is sign up right now. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours and press number 4 after you dial 888-888-1717. Come and join us. Be on this journey with us. Together, let's be intentional for Christ.
The pain she endures every day is unbearable. On bad days, she says, if the house was burning down, I could not sit up.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
Her name is Laura Hillenbrand, and she suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome, a disease so debilitating she's unable to leave her home. The thing she once loved, riding horses, is a distant memory from so long ago, before the sickness. But Laura wouldn't let her illness rule her. She wrote a story, the true story, of an underdog horse and his jockey, who both overcame physical pain and long odds to become champions. Laura's book, Seabiscuit, has sold 6 million copies. Her suffering, unwanted though it was, gave her perspective and the compassion to tell an inspiring story of triumph over adversity in a way nobody else could. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robinson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Steve Tanner here for Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. Dr. Carlson giving me custody of the microphone here for a few minutes. We're talking in these few days of teaching with Dr. Randy about fear and worry and anxiety. And I've got a guest here who's a new friend. I've just met Tim Kaufman. He has a book that's called Singing Hallelujah When You Feel Like Hell. Pretty provocative title. But first of all, Tim, thanks for stopping by with us today.
Well, thank you, Steve, and it's great to meet a new friend. We have a common friend in Rod Robinson, and he said that we should hook up, and I'm glad we could do that.
And if you're noticing a buzz of activity, we're actually at the National Religious Broadcasters, the NRB convention in Orlando, Florida, taping this. But this title, this book title, your subtitle says A True Life Story of How to Triumph Through Depression. First of all, let's just get an overview of your story. I know we can't really get all of it because there's 100 and something pages here that tells more of the story. But give us a flyover of what we're talking about here in the context of why you're talking about singing Hallelujah even when you feel like hell.
Well, hell is everything heaven isn't. Hell is everything that Hallelujah isn't. And when the enemy stole paradise in the garden, everything went to hell, literally. And the enemy has been deceiving us ever since. The enemy has been coming against us and using our weaknesses against us. And my weakness happens to be a biological, and there were other factors that I go into in the book, but I do have a biological and a genetic disposition. My father's had 3 clinical depressions. He's bipolar. My grandfather's had 2 depressions. So I just decided to keep it in the family and keep the thing going.
There's one way of having a perspective on this. But Tim Kaufman, so facing depression. Depression is not an unknown issue in our culture.
I mean, no.
Everybody knows somebody who has been through it or is going through it or they're going through it themselves.
Yeah.
Talk a bit about when you first realized that this was an issue for you, when you first realized that this was not the way things ought to be.
I think I first realized it in the early 90s when I had my first depression. And I look back on that experience, and I had always stiff-armed a depression by what I call frenetic activity. I was very busy traveling and singing. I was doing upwards of 200 concerts or speaking engagements a year for 25 years. And then I did get some help from 91 to 94, but it was only counseling. I should have been medicated at that time. I wasn't. In 2003, I was beginning to feel some anxiety. Talked to my my GP, my doctor, and he put me on a low grade of Zoloft, and that really helped significantly. But then a well-meaning friend in 2009 who had my ear, he told me about all of the spiritual components of being on medication, how bad that was spiritually, and how, you know, all the negatives of it. And I bought into it, and I weaned myself off of my medication successfully, I thought, until on January 8th, 2010, I woke up, I was in the fetal position, I was shaking uncontrollably, and I looked at my wife and I said, I am so afraid. Mm. Fear latched on to me, and it wouldn't let go. And I said, I cannot pray my way out of this, I cannot sing, speak, read my way out of this, I need help. And it just so happened, in God's good providence, that 15 minutes later our phone rang, and a friend of ours, a pastor's wife, said, I'm in town, could I stop by? When she got to our house a half hour later, she took one look at me, looked at my wife, and said, we've got to get Tim to a doctor now. Hmm. And that was the beginning of a, how I say in the book, of a prolonged journey that was both educational and embarrassing, but necessary to get a handle on this thing that had a hold of me called depression. It's actually MDD, major depressive disorder. And Steve, 1 out of 10 people who are sitting in church with you deal with MDD.
You know, in the context of fear, you had to be terrified at that moment when you wake up in the fetal position.
Oh, I was.
Facing the fear, well, talk about fear in the context of fear of what might happen and fear of what you are going through and what is happening.
Well, you're always, when you're running from fear, it's always nipping at your heels. You're trying to outrun it, and you really can't give in to stopping and thinking about it, or else you are afraid that fear will overtake you, fear of whatever. So we face different fears. We face the fear of our own failure. Some people face the fear of success. Because if I become successful, now I have to navigate that and keep it up. And there's the fear of, can I keep it up? So you're always imagining the worst. You're always thinking in the negative. And it wasn't until I got on the proper medication that I was able to re-educate my mind and my thinking. And so that's one of the reasons that I'm such a strong advocate for doctor-prescribed, monitored medication, because you can get the wrong medication, you can get too much, you can get too little, and that's why you have to stay in close contact with your doctor so that you can get the proper help, the balanced help that you need. And what the medication did for me and what it does for many that I know, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people over the years about this now. I have one pastor friend that's on medication. He was subject to panic attacks. He got on this medication. 3 weeks later, I said, how you doing? He said, I feel like I've got me back.
Mm-hmm. You know, our bodies are composed of chemicals, and there are ratios and balances, yep, of those chemicals that have to stay in order. The same way that you mix chemicals to create a Coca-Cola. When the chemicals are off, if one of those elements of the Coca-Cola is off, it's not Coca-Cola anymore.
Exactly.
If one of those chemicals is off in Tim Kaufman or in Steve Tanner, we're not ourselves anymore. And God gave us brains and medical science and technology and the discovery of ways in which we can adjust and readjust and set straight those chemicals, and medical science is a way that God is using that.
If you look and read between the lines in the Psalms, I'm convinced that David was at times bipolar. Hmm. I'm convinced, because he has emotional swings that are all over the board. Mm-hmm. And David, I believe, if he had had the advantage of medication, he might have avoided some craziness that he experienced in his life. That's just me.
going from, Lord, where are you? Why are my enemies winning? Why does it seem that the wicked are prevailing here? All the way to dancing naked in the streets.
Bingo. I mean, he was all over the board. He really was. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart for the things of God. He loved God. And there are so many of God's people who are crazy in love with Jesus. They read their Bibles. They pray. They're involved in church. They're serving. They're wanting to help. And they battle depression.
He's Tim Kaufman. He's author of the book Singing Hallelujah When You Feel Like Hell. And as you said earlier so well, that what is not heaven is hell.
Yes, it is.
We're going to need to take a time out today, and we'll come back tomorrow and talk more with Tim Kaufman about this. Singing Hallelujah, even while you're going through this, even while you're in the storm, and then being able to look back and sing Hallelujah for how God brought you through the storm. Tim, do you have time to come back and talk more about this tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Steve Tanner here with Intentional Living with Dr. Randy. Dr. Randy will be back in just a moment.
I had multiple surgeries, and it was just a real trying time, and I always questioned, you know, how can God be there? And I was so afraid that, you know, this, I had a big surgery in September, and I was afraid of the pain, the whether I would make it.
I am concerned that God has changed his mind, so to speak, as to what he wants me to do with my life as far as career.
Currently, I'm a topless dancer, and I am a Christian, and I'm a believer. But I don't know, like, if I should reveal this to my future husband, and if I do, like, when should I, you know what I mean? So I guess that's my fear of revealing that in my future.
Wow. Listen, just on that point, let me be clear. Yes, you need to sit down and be very clear with your future husband what you do and why you do it. But then let me speak to you. Don't allow fear to overcome your life. You need to live a life that's honoring to Christ. You need to be in a place where you can, with freedom, be able to share what you do. That should be a kind of a trigger, a red flag, as it were. If I can't tell somebody that I'm going to marry what I do, then that's something to be fearful about, right? There's a point, too. Sometimes when we think about fear and worry, allow it to move you in a healthy direction. Allow it to move you to healing in your life, to make a decision to move in a new direction. That's for sure. Hey, listen, I want to thank those of you who've been calling even this hour, going on online even during this half hour, to join us and support as a monthly member of the Intentional Living family. I want to get this new member kit out to you with the books and the teaching. To say thanks, just go to theintentionallife.com right now, theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, more on overcoming worry and anxiety. We'll see you then.